You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from the mid-season break. It's a little later than mid. It's late mid, like brunch, but on the other side of lunch. It's Linner, late lunch, early dinner. There it is, and here we are, Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. For your listening displeasure, we're almost to Halloween. Ooh, so I gotta get the spookies.
Everything's opposite because it's spooky season.
The hoo-has.
Ooh, we're here to make you scared of podcasts.
All right. Okay. Yeah,
anyway,
okay.
Hi everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey everybody. I'm Brandon, and we've got a pretty solid show for you today. We've been planning it for weeks, and
so many weeks.
Rick and Morty has been in its break for the last 2 weeks, and so we figured, hey, it's a good time as any to talk about where we are so far. But you know, before we get into that, I think there's something we should do, and it's a little bit of house cleaning. Travis, house cleaning?
I don't, honestly, the closet that doubles as my podcast studio is in definite need of tidying.
Oh. So
I'm just going to start picking stuff up.
Okay.
You know what? Actually, I'll do that after all of these social media links. If you want to follow us online during this hiatus, make sure you're following over on Twitter at Rick and Morty Pod, over on Facebook, facebook.com/Rick and Morty Podcast, or on Instagram at Rick and Morty Podcast. Also, Rick and Morty Podcast at gmail.com. That's our email. You can send us, all your favorite ideas, theories about, the show and what might happen in the rest of the season. We're over on the subreddits, rickandmorty.reddit.com and rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com. One official and one of them is ours. You decide which is which. You can also go to our website, rickandmortypod.com, where you can get all the episodes of this podcast and, you know, sometimes a little bit more, not a lot, but sometimes more.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes. Also, quick plug, October's almost over, but if you go to apatheticenthusiasm.com, you can catch whatever blog post Brandon's put out there for spooky season. How you doing? You keeping up? You still got the dailies going?
Keeping up. What's really been handy is I didn't do it by myself. I did it with our friend Kevin. So we're trading off writing duties every other day. And so sometimes I miss a movie, but it's okay because that's Kevin's day. Like tonight, yeah. I missed the movie that I'm supposed to watch today. But Kevin's writing the article, so it's fine. Okay. I'll watch it when I can.
It's all good. It's all good. speaking of sharing the load, that's a terrible segue because I'm going to talk about streaming. Streaming now live on twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. Also, recorded video episodes of the podcast available over at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Finally, big shout out to all of our patrons over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks to everybody supporting the show out there as well. And them's the links. Before we get into our semi-pertinent news, I want to just take a moment to thank Brandon for closing out our last episode when the power went out and everything went haywire over at my house, and you finished the show. I listened to it. Great job. I just have one.
I don't remember even.
You mostly did like some short outs and like just talked about our favorite bits. You basically just read the show notes verbatim and then said, see you next time. But it was great.
Yeah.
I was shocked to find out that I don't know if it's something we changed with our hosting platform or what. But an advertisement rolled at the end of the episode after I was done listening to it. See, if you don't do your own quality assurance, right? If you don't QC your work, you may never know these things. But now I'm fascinated and very curious. Unity, if you're listening and you manage to listen all the way to the end of this episode, do you get an advertisement? And if you do, We want to know about it. Hit us up over, send us an email, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter. Who is being advertised to you? What company? Let us know. Just because I'm really curious if that's happening for everybody.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon. That's it for that stuff.
Cool. Yeah, let us know what your targeted advertisement was.
If it's embarrassing, you don't have to.
No.
But if it's like, I don't know what would be embarrassing.
Because I think it's supposed to be regional is the way it doesn't. Well, we could talk about it some other time.
Yeah, that's an apathetic enthusiast conversation. let's pad this episode with plenty more talking in a segment that we like to call semi-pertinent news. Okay. I thought you were really gonna just go full send, just belt it out. Semi-pertinent news.
No, that was good. Yeah, that was good.
That's the best singing I've ever. It's been recorded.
You're gonna
sample that.
I'm gonna put it in there. So our podcast audience can. I'm not gonna do that. It takes so much time. But I might use it to make a song later.
Hey, you have so much audio of me talking that you could do so many things. I just started listening to a new podcast from New York Times called Hard Fork, and it's like a technology podcast, but one of the episodes was about generative AI, like all of the where you like put in a prompt and then like an AI will make a picture for you. But they used sample data from their other recordings to get an AI company to record their intro in their own voices. I was just like, our time is limited, Brandon. Like, they're just going to sample all of our voice recordings that are out on the internet, and then someone can just write a script and make a podcast and make it say anything.
Yeah. They can do it. If they can make dude for Star Wars and Rogue One, they can do anything.
Deepfakes are out there. Anyway, let's talk about Rick and Morty. Okay. And first up, our first story is in everyone's favorite video game. That's right, Forkknife bringing brand new characters in the recent Battle Pass, I guess it would be. I think that's what my kid always asked me to pay for. Summer and Meeseeks. What you know about this, Brandon?
Yeah, Summer is in the Glorzo outfit from
dress.
Yep. From Primordius. That was the name of the episode.
Little Glorzo action.
Ooh, glory to Glorzo. Means glory to me. And then just Mr. Meeseeks. Mr. Meeseeks is the other skin. Not gonna spend a whole lot of time on this, just to let you know, fair fans, that if you want some more Rick and Morty themed skins for your Fortnite, then head out. And you can get Summer and Meeseeks. I know Heather and Campbell was playing with Rick and Morty stuff. It's semi-pertinent. She was playing with the alien skin from like
a xenomorph type.
Yeah,
Man, that game has really gone just off the rails with their skin. Like, it's like
there's
other IP can we make money off of?
Well, there's an Evil Dead Army of Darkness Ash skin out there in Fortnite too.
Is that gonna get you to play Fortnite again?
No. I uninstalled. Okay, it doesn't matter.
Anyway, moving on.
Travis, I don't think you watched this yet.
Wow, that was what you know about me.
Did you watch it?
I watched 50% of it.
Okay, all right, so I'm half right. So over there on Hulu, we talked about this a long time ago. I'm shuffling in my seat because I'm just so excited to talk about this. It is the Pelony Show, Justin Roiland's kind of variety hour of animation, right? Channel 101 type of like just a bunch of different shorts, animated shorts by different directors, different artists. Michael Cusack, who did a Bushworld Adventures, did a short, which is one of my favorite ones. I don't know if you got that one yesterday. There's a couple envelopes where they're telling a story about like having a Halloween special.
And Justin Roiland does the voice of one of the main characters. Yeah.
Anyways, I love it. Go out to Hulu if you have Hulu and check it out. I grew up in the age of liquid television.
Okay.
because
it's very reminiscent of that sort of content for sure.
So I'm not I knew of Channel 101. Obviously, you know, Rick and Morty has its roots there in Channel 101. But whenever I see something like that, a show like that with all these different animation styles, I always think of liquid television. Like animation, there's like one live action short. There's a claymation short in there as well. Like liquid TV is where Beavis and Butthead started. It's where Aeon Flux started. So I'm always taken back to that spot. And so there was like this powerful, powerful like emotion of nostalgia with watching the Pelone show. It was really, really cool. Anyways, check it out.
Did you have a favorite short out of all that you saw?
I think it was the Cusack one. Yeah, they're laying on a riverbank. These two characters.
So I think that's one I have. That must be in the second half of the show. I'll have to check that out later.
Yeah, they're sitting on a riverbank, and one of the guys is talking about like going on a date. It's like he's finally gonna score tonight. Like, oh yeah, like what date is it? It's like, oh, it's my 47th date. Like, okay, yeah, you're just kind of, you know, taking your time there. Well, yeah, I gotta take my time there. Yeah, sure. Anyway, but anyways, the animation is very minimal, but I just Chelsea is like, you could be rich at this point in time.
Yeah, you could definitely have made that one. I liked the Mayor Day sketch a little bit. Oh, yeah. I thought that one's pretty funny. I don't know. There's some good ones in there. Check out the Pelone show. A great way to get ready for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Hulu. So yeah, check that out. Speaking of other blockbuster hit movies, there is a new trailer that just dropped today. If you're watching live, and that is for a little movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, by the title of Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I like it.
Quantumania.
You said little movie because it's so small. It's Ant-Man. Quantum universe. You got him. You've been really working. Those comedy Thanks. Classes.
I have index cards with all of my with all of my subtle jokes on them.
Yeah. Like, okay, get rid of that one. The Ant-Man trailer. Yeah, it's out.
But why is this semi-pertinent, Brandon?
It's semi-pertinent because old Jeff Loveness wrote Ant-Man Quantumania. And old so Jeff. good job, Jeff. Looking forward to it.
That's right. If you liked the Emmy Award-winning Vat of Acid episode, then you'll probably like Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
it's gonna be great. And that's all we have to say about that. So
I'm hoping, my biggest hope, and I didn't see it in the trailer, is that somehow when they're in the quantum realm, they can make the bones float up. And if they can do that, then I think it'll all be worth it.
I think so. By the way, that Kang costume you see in the trailer looking good. Looking good.
Yeah, I mean, this would quickly devolve into AE territory, but the way they're using an Ant-Man movie to kind of kick off a really big story arc. I don't know. You could argue that the Loki series introduced Kang, but like, I don't know. This is the first movie that's doing it.
It introduced a version. It didn't introduce the one that we need to be afraid of.
Speaking
of being afraid of things, we have a bit of news. There's an interview. You shouldn't be afraid of this. We have an interview episode coming out soon, a bonus interview episode.
Right.
It'll be released separately from this episode, but it is with Alex Fear and Fred Stressing, the writer and artist behind Rick and Morty's 100th issue. It is coming out. It should be out this Thursday, which, I mean, today's the 24th, so, you know, whatever. Or maybe it came out last week. I think it came out last week. Doesn't matter. It's out. It's coming out. Whatever. You can read it somewhere. And yeah, a cavalcade of adventures, bunch of different artists. So that's out. They also talk about doing Rick and Morty's new number one, which is the renumbering, and that's coming out in January. So be on the lookout. You're on the ear out for that bonus episode from us coming out basically the same time as this. So,
yeah, very soon. Very, very soon.
Very soon.
All right. So that's comics. We've talked about movies. We've talked about TV. What about tangible objects? What about merchandise, Brandon?
Ooh.
Any updates on the merch sector?
Ooh, I have a merch update, and it is for the Butter Robot. And I was going to change my background for our video folks, but I don't think I have enough time to do that. Just kidding, I do, totally.
We finally got the actual working Butter Robot here in studio.
It is either behind me for my virtual background.
His arm fell off.
Or on Travis's actual camera, something he 3D printed. Yeah, so I had
and then primed and never painted.
I had the pleasure of hanging out with Digital Dream Labs, some of the creative engineers and talent behind the Butter Robot. This is something that we've talked about that for years basically. Yeah. For this, that, or the other reason, it's still not out. But I got to sit in with a meeting with the team. Just to see how things are coming along. I'm just giving you that confirmation that, yes, the Butter Robot is still being worked. Times change. Money changes. Design things changes. But the team is hard at work. And I'm not going to bore you with engineering stuff because I don't understand it. And I would be boring you because I'd be Googling it at the same time.
It was like a very technical meeting that you attended, right? It wasn't like a presser. It was like, hey, this is like an actual like nuts and bolts, like in the weeds meeting.
Literally.
Brandon, yeah. You want to show up?
Yeah. And so it was an interesting meeting to be in because I showed up and then they're like, Jacob, the CEO, was like, hey, everybody, this is Brandon. He's a huge mega fan of he's a podcaster. And they're like, oh, hi, Brandon. Hey. I'm like, hey, I turned my camera on.
So we were talking amongst ourselves and we were like, what does a pancreas actually do?
Are there pirates? No, it produces insulin. Anyway. So the Butter Robot is still being worked it may not be still this year, but I think they're shooting for early quarter, the first quarter. Potentially. So,
well, I mean, I really appreciate Digital Dream Labs being transparent with us and inviting us in to see the progress on that project. Encourage folks if you pre-ordered way back when, from everything I've heard, it sounds like it's going to be a really phenomenal robot when it's all said and done. I'm excited to see it happen. So, I don't know. That's your quarterly, biannual hype for the Butter Robot. Let's get back to the internet and over onto Reddit for this week's Reddit post of the week.
Ooh, Reddit post of the week. Okay, so this Reddit post of the week is by user DarkWhite94 with 3,700 upvotes, 95% upvote rate, 423,000 views. The title is, "Today I Realized Something About Rick That Has Changed My View Fundamentally." And what this post is about is, it's basically saying that, I'll read it, at least just to start. Rick is not even a bad father. He takes the blame of a guy that he's never met. That is the really fucked up stuff here. Beth is blaming him the whole time and hasn't even has not even the responsibility or fault. He is really hating himself so much that he'll take the blame from someone else just to feed his desire to hurt himself. I will caveat this by saying there were other posts that were higher upvoted than this, but they're all videos of the show, and I'm not going to give you the satisfaction because it's rule number 7. Come on. Good being low effort. Yeah, when you think of it like that, it is a little strange. It's like, he is taking a lot of this onus on himself.
It's one of those things that in early seasons of the show, we didn't fully know or understand how the whole relationship worked out, or how the different versions of Rick would work out, right? So there's this, you know, this idea that early on Rick just like left. Rick went off to have space adventures and eventually came back when Morty's a teenager. It's not really until season three, the premiere of season three, when we are introduced to the idea of now Rick Prime and Beth being a little girl, you know, his family being killed, something like that, and hit that loss in Rick's actual life. And so I think, I don't want to call like a retcon at season three, but like now it complicates that relationship, because obviously if a Beth died in his reality, like Beth didn't die in every reality, right? And so he's in a reality where Beth's still alive, and he is filling in for now Rick Prime. Like we know, like the Rick, wait, no, that's Morty's Rick. So yeah, but so yeah, so it's some other Rick, some other slacker Rick, who probably just ran off to the Citadel or something like that. But yeah, but yeah, he's definitely taking the brunt of the hurt from Beth.
Yeah.
So the brunt of that.
The brute, the brunt, the cologne.
Yeah, the brute cologne is what he's taking.
So it's congratulations, Dark White 94, for being our Reddit post of the week. And I also want to say congratulations to this next fellow for winning our coveted Dan Harmon social media minute. It's Dan Harmon and his social media minute.
Dan Harmon.
Cool.
Social media. I don't have pre-recorded music. I feel like a slacker. All right, here we go. Lots of great quality posts over on Dan Harmon's Instagram. If you enjoyed the coffee song from our last episode, it became a series. There's a whole bunch of them out there. So definitely go check those out. But this week I'd like to feature a post from Dan's adventures in New York City. He went out there. He's visiting New York City for a while, and he's visiting a restaurant with a bunch of Zagat awards, America's Top Restaurants awards. And it's a quick panning across, starting back in like 2013, but it's a video of all of their annual awards, 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, and then 2019. Oh, there is no award in 2018. And he zooms in on the gap between the frames where there's no award, with a caption saying, "There should be a tiny placard here that says, oh, and you had a perfect 2018. Which, yeah, you know, we all make mistakes. We all have a bad year. But yeah, that's your Dan Harmon social media minute. There's some good comments in there, but I don't know, that gave me a chuckle and I had to pick a post. So that's the one you get, everybody.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. That's well, cool.
Go listen to the coffee music. It's better.
Well, I think that's great. And yeah, we all have a bad year. We all have a bad couple years sometimes, but that's okay, because this is going to be a good year. I have a feeling. I don't know why I say that.
We'll see. We'll see what Zagat thinks. All right. That's it for semi pertinent news. If you have a semi pertinent story that you think we should cover, hit us up on all those social media links. It is now time for us to move into the real reason you're listening. It's time for the main thing.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Come on in for that main thing here on Interdimensional RSS. I'm proud to say that I found that clavicle noise in there. Welcome to the main thing. We don't have an actual episode to talk about because Rick and Morty is on hiatus till the 20th of November. Yes. But we do have at least 6 episodes to talk about leading up to this point in time. So as I kind of mentioned at the start of the show, we just want to talk about some of these episodes, talk about where the family sits, where the character sits, kind of some themes. And just take some ratings, observations, and see where it takes us, Travis.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, as each new episode comes out week after week, I think we break down the episodes themselves pretty well, but we don't really get a chance to reflect, to sit back and look at them as a whole, see if there's any overarching themes throughout the season and things like that. So, yeah, you know, this hiatus, it's like a gift, right? Let's be optimistic. We don't need new episodes every week. Let's take a whole month off and just think about the old episodes that we like.
Yeah.
And to start, there was a poll that a very savvy Reddit mod put out over on the Rick and Morty subreddit, asking folks what were their favorite episodes from this first half of season 6. Any surprising results from that one, Brandon?
So I put the poll out there because for two reasons. One was I needed a post to pin on there to say, hey, everybody, stop asking where a new episode of Rick and Morty is because it's on a hiatus till the 20th of November.
Yes.
And then the second one was like, well, since I have everyone's attention, I'll go ahead and put a poll out there, too. And so when I messed up and I only put it for like 3 days. So the numbers might be skewed. It might have changed a little bit, but I think there's a clear enough two winners, the top two. And I was a little bit surprised by the number two. And at first I was surprised that the number one, it was lagging at first, and eventually it came out on top. So
interesting.
If we want to talk about those poll results right now, or if we want to wait, okay.
Let's roll through them.
All right. So, at number 6, Rick, A More Well-Lived. That was the second episode of the season. That's the Die Hard episode.
Die Hard.
Number 5, Bethic Twinstinct. That is the self-cessed episode. Number 4, Jurixic Mort, which was the 6th episode of the season. That's where the dinosaurs took over.
Yeah.
Number 3, Final Desmithation. That is the fortune cookie episode. Number 2, Night Family. That came in at a solid number 2.
Rinse your dishes.
And then number 1, which, well, I was surprised it took so long to get to number 1, but then it stayed there steadily, was Solarix, the season 6 premiere. So that is right. That is the order of episodes as fan favorites. Yeah, what do you think of that?
Some surprising results in there. I think Solarix is a clear number one. It is for me so far in the season. But some of these episodes, I have, if I was to give my top 6, I would have some of these very low ones up much higher, I think.
No.
I think potentially, based on some of the chatter we saw when in the live chat and the post show discussions for Rick, A More Well-Lived. I don't know if the Die Hard references were as accessible, because I think a lot of people are like Summer and just haven't seen Die Hard. And so some of those references and jokes maybe didn't land for folks. But for those that like Die Hard, it was probably much more enjoyable episode.
I
don't know, I think this is interesting, and I don't know, we can revisit this maybe as we
can you see the numbers of votes per category.
So
5,000 about 5,000 votes. Oh. Total Solarix got 1,200.
I have that up.
Night Family 1.1. Rick had 522 votes. Bethic Twinstinct was 683. Then you jump to Jurixic, 723. Night Family, or Deathsmith Station, 994. which, so really, I mean, Night Family, Final Desmithation, that were kind of close. Solaris, really close. Those were kind of going back and forth, I think, the three of them, with Solaris eventually eking out. I think the lore canon heavy folks were like, this is the one. And I rewatched that today, and I'm like, that is a really good episode. So
it really is. And I think we'll discuss that a little bit more as we talk about some of these themes that have been really present as we rewatch these episodes, or as we talk about them over the last couple of months. Some things really stood out, and I think the first thing that was apparent from the end of season five right up until this mid-season break is the idea of portal travel and the reality that portal travel was broken basically from the start of the season right until the end of the Jurassic Mort episode, where Rick's got it all fixed now and he's ready to get back on classic Rick and Morty adventures. But we start with that idea of resetting portal travelers, and that idea, right, the reset of sending everybody back to their original dimensions, in a very canon heavy episode, I think does something to sort of reset the show a little bit, and as they move into more canon heavy episodes potentially. Yeah, like it kind of provides that reset for everybody, and we can make sure everybody's where they're supposed to be, or know where everybody comes from. What do you think about that idea of sort of resetting the canon at the start of six?
I am good with the idea of that, to give us a new baseline. I think we talked about it in that premiere episode.
Sure.
Giving us a jumping off point, a base jump point to jump off for
so much jumping
for new stories.
So many jumps.
Yeah, it's a very jump heavy. We didn't have portal travel, so we needed to jump somehow, right? Jump through.
Do you feel like you missed portal travel in these like six episodes? They talked about it a lot, but do you feel like the show was lacking anything by not having portal travel?
No, I don't, portal travel, it's iconic, right? You have a portal in your background. My golden Rick head has a portal underneath its head, right? Like the portals are iconic. It's something that is in the genetic makeup of the show. I know what you're talking about. Like
We both got portal guns.
The same portal gun toy, right?
Thank you, Spirit Halloween.
But the portals aren't what made me be like, yeah, I love this show because the portals. I
love green.
Please show more portals. Wait a minute. Oh, there's
not. We say that as there's literally a portal at the bottom of our live stream. Yes, like layout. Yes. Like, yeah, portals are iconic.
But if that portal wasn't there, our show wouldn't be any worse. It would still be the same show. Same thing with Rick and Morty. Like to me, the last season, because there wasn't a lot of portal travel last season either. This season there wasn't any, right, until this latest episode. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, it seemed fine without it for me personally. Well, I mean, what do you think? Does it matter that much?
I think because they still have, you know, Space Beth and Rick's ships, there's enough other like sci-fi elements within their dimension where they can still travel through space without having to travel between realities. Mm. That, I mean, sometimes portal travel was used to just move within, you know, the same dimension because, you know, Rick doesn't want to walk. But, you know, it does close off all of those really bizarre dimensions or characters from realities that, you know, where cell phones eat chairs or whatever, you know, like that's, but they were able to kind of peel away all of that extra and just focus in on telling some really like Smith family centric stories that didn't rely on those other mechanics. Now, is the show different without it? Not necessarily, but does portal travel open up some opportunities for some of the stories and things that we've really grown to love over the course of the show? Yeah. And I think bringing it back in the sixth episode, oh, at least opens the door for them to re-explore some of those things and maybe reinvest in some of those canon type questions that spiked in Solaris, but then have kind of been ignored for five episodes. Like we spent so much time with the premiere being like, they're really leaning into canon and they're really going to like be talking about all this stuff. And then we get like three bottle episodes and, you know, a couple episodes that are really just Smith family centric and deal a lot with the family, but not so much with the bigger questions about the show.
Yeah. You bring up bottle episodes, and I'll jump around here a little bit in our show notes to bring that up. The standalone adventure episodes. I think when we say bottle episodes, my initial thought is that it's like a low key dig. Just in our conversation right now, not all the time, but like
sure,
like I'm like bottle episodes. It seems like a low key insult. But I don't think we mean that in this case. Like,
I certainly don't. But I look at it as an episode that exists within, you know, like one contained area that doesn't necessarily have any implications on the larger series. I think of the Blips and Shits episode, the Die Hard Rick and Morty Well Lived, as sort of one of those episodes where it could really have happened anywhere in the series. Like, it didn't have to happen in season six. That could have been a season three episode. That could have been a season five episode. And the implications of what happened or anything like that don't really extend beyond that episode.
Mm-hmm.
With all that said, I really enjoy that episode and think it's great, but it's just one of those episodes that doesn't necessarily affect the bigger story.
Okay. So in your mind then, for bottle episodes for this season so far, we get rid of Solaris because that's obviously sure. has implications. Jurixic Mort has some meta commentary about like canon. So that might have a little bit of implication because they closed the rift off, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So that leaves.
They could have milked that for months.
So you have written down Rick, Mort Well Lived, and Knight Family. I agree with those. So that leaves Deathsmithation and Bethic Twinstinct. Do you? I think the Jerry centric fortune cookie one, I think we can put that into the bottle episode category.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, I think that I don't see the Fortune 500 company being a major player later in the series. That could be a pretty standalone adventure as well. They probably won't go to that Panda Express anymore.
Well,
there's plenty of them around.
That's probably true. Which then leaves Bethic Twinstinct, which has all the space Beth stuff. So talking about bottle episodes or not, this space Beth has been around a lot of the episodes so far, and this was like the one that really kind of cemented it in. Yeah, they have like a weird family dynamic, but she is there. Would you consider this a bottle episode?
I don't think I would, just for the progress that it makes in developing Space Beth as a character and the Smith family as a unit. Right, that idea of the on again off again throuple that is Beth and Jerry. And it does do a little bit of work in bringing Space Beth closer into the family, to where she's not necessarily there to see the kids. Maybe she's there to see Beth or Jerry or just everybody, right? But she is more tied to the family, and it there's this idea, I think, in the past of Space Beth be like turning away from all of the family, you know, maternal type things to just go out and be the Rickest Beth out in space. But we see a lot of things in that episode where she like she keeps a framed picture of the family in her spaceship. And she, you know, like we see those ties a little bit more. And so I think there is more to it, right? Like Space Beth doesn't live in the house all the time. She does come and go. But I think the result of that episode will continue to play out in other episodes.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I might have said it during Bethic to Instinct, them just getting it out of the way, kind of in a way, and being like, don't worry whether it's going to happen or not. It does happen. Now we can kind of, now we can move
stop,
on. Right?
Stop writing your fan fiction.
Stop shipping.
We've made them. It canon. Now you can let it go. They'll both show up at the Oscars together in 606. And then, you know, like Space Beth is like that extended family member. Maybe that sister-in-law, that cousin that, you know, that lives nearby or maybe like drops in on a regular basis, but like doesn't necessarily live there, but is, you know, has refrigerator rights and can come in and just, you know, pull something from the fridge whenever.
It's like you're like aunt's friend that is just their random family get togethers. You're like, who is that? Oh, it's just your aunt's friend. Yeah. You know,
you show up at home, nobody from your family's there, but the aunt is there. And you're like, who let you in?
Oh,
I have a key.
Get out of here. Don't hit me with that coat hanger again. You know, jeez, get out of here.
Sounds like you need to unpack something there. Anyway, yeah, I do like the development of Space Beth as a character and the way that the writers are exploring the sort of two versions of Beth, right? Mm-hmm, I think they always did that, right? There was always that side of Beth that was trying to keep the family together or trying to, you know, be a good mom. But then at the same time, she is probably the smartest person in the family and is very capable. She is the daughter of Rick, right? And so now they can kind of personify both aspects of her personality in these two characters and then really like just completely run with those aspects. And
yeah,
I don't know, we'll see. I don't know where they'll ultimately end up, but I think it's interesting to see how that all plays out in the family dynamic.
I think the show does a good job of exploring the internal feelings of these characters without explicitly saying, like, it's strange. Like, the duality of Beth allows us to see the internal aspects of her character. Going to the episode last season with all the duplicates, right? We had the conversation there about, like, I thought it was a standalone episode, but it showed us an aspect of Beth and Rick's relationship there as a father and daughter that, you know, Rick, you know, our primary Rick and Beth haven't gotten to yet, but they got to in that episode that we can see what their relationship is like at its core. And then this season, talking about Night family, you have the aspect of the Day family and the Night family where Night Summer is the one who is in charge because Night Rick really does respect her opinion. And it shows us those hidden states of their emotions and their motivations in a way that, you know, like it's not those characters saying, yeah, Summer, I do care about your opinion. And then, you know, the sitcom music from the 80s plays and then the credits roll. They do it. I think the show does a good job of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder, you know, two or three seasons from now, if we will look back at these first six episodes of season six as sort of a unit, right? As sort of a period in the show's history where the show kind of took a step back from really trying to do, you know, all this teleporting to different dimensions, like high concept sci-fi stuff, and really just like invested in the family and developing the family and things like that. And maybe these next four episodes are just like nothing but canon and unpacking, you know,
wham, bam, thank you, man.
Like, you know, world building and theory crafting. Or maybe it's not like that at all. But I just do find it interesting. We've talked pretty much with every episode that they have really shown Jerry in a different light in this season. Mm-hmm. We're sort of informally calling it the Jerry season. I don't want to dig too deep into that because I think we can probably pull a whole episode out of that, and we still got a couple more weeks of hiatus that we need to build content for. So yeah. I do find it interesting how much Jerry's featured. And it could be because of some of that, like, lack of portal travel and things where Rick and Morty can't throw up a green circle and end up in a different dimension. Like, they're forced to stick around, which means it keeps the family nearby. And a lot of these storylines have then resulted in involving all of them. And we get to see, you know, Jerry win sometimes and lose a lot. But you know, ultimately, he comes out on top quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And sometimes doesn't come out on top. Thank you, Rick, for saving his genitals. Yeah, yeah. I think there's a lot that we could talk about, Jerry. I'd hate to speculate too much because then we might be wrong when these next four episodes come out. But, you know, I like seeing what's happening with him. I like that we've seen his competence through incompetence, his innocence, in a naivete, whatever, be, you know, the resolution of some things, like in Night Family. Again, his using his night person wrong is what saved them in the end. You know, things like that, I think are good to see. I hope to see more of that. I'm sure we will. So miscellaneous observation. I had this miscellaneous observation. I think it started with Night Family. No, Bethic to Instinct. At the very, very end, when Rick locks up the Venusian wine, and there's his flask up there. There's some other things up there. The Meeseeks box, and he locks it up, and he doesn't flush it, but he puts it on the garbage disposal. His little garage door opener thingy.
Yeah.
So I made a mental note to keep track of, like, how often is he drinking? Is he drinking a lot this season? I know he does drink beer in one of the later episodes. He's just drinking.
Yeah, in Jurassic Mort, he's sitting on the couch at the beginning of the episode. He's got like a six pack of some sort of like beer or something
He's drinking. And I looked that up, and it's like Foam Genuine Draft is one of the early episodes in the Beth centric episode where she goes to Fruityland. Anyway, so he's drinking beer there when they go to the Oscars. I was like, oh, there he is. There's drunk Rick, but he's not actually drunk. It's just part of the show, right?
Part of the act.
It's all part of the act. Just like that one thing. It's all scripted. And so I wonder if that's a thing that I'm reading too much into, which is very, very, very possible. Or if there's like, and they've made comments too throughout the season too, right? Like, oh, that's when I used to drink. Things like that, that were like, are there little seeds of like that, you know, character change or shift?
It's possible, and I think there may be some message that they're trying to send where as Rick continues to grow closer and feel more like a part of the Smith family and tied to these people, that he maybe has less that he's running away from or trying to become numb to, so to speak, and so maybe he doesn't have to be blackout drunk to avoid whatever intrusive thoughts are plaguing him, and he can sit back and watch some morning news with some foamy suds and or whatever it is, and Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to keep an eye on that and see if anything else comes of that either in this season or further down the line.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead. You know, the episodes is long. There were a lot of episodes. Our semi-perps were a lot. But I want to go ahead and get through. We had the Reddit ranking. I want to ask what your 1 through 6 are, or at least what your 1 through 3 are. And then we have a couple of other ratings roundup type questions for each other for this. So let's go ahead and start with what are your 1 through 6 or 1 to 3 if we want to simplify it?
Well, you didn't have this. You had best and least overall. So I wasn't prepared.
Oh, okay. But, let's just do that. Best and least overall.
I will say my best overall is still Solarix. And I was like, is that just the easy answer? Like, I know season premieres are always pretty good, but the way they weaved canon from inside the show into in really interesting ways, revisited different realities and things like that. And just a lot of the concepts and jokes really made me laugh. And so far, that is still my number one episode of the season 6 so far.
Okay. Well, not a lot to talk about because I agree with you on the number one. It was a nice comeback to season 6. It had everything that we wanted. There's lots of laughs, lots of tears, lots of developments. Yeah. What's your least favorite?
I put down final desmithation.
Oh, okay.
And I think for me, there's some good ideas, some good concepts in that. But I think it's probably somewhere between Jurixic Mort and that one are probably like my bottom two. Just because they're like they're good like episodes, but like they're not. I don't know that I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, and the fortune cookie episode. Remember that one? Remember the one where Jerry's afraid he's gonna have sex with his mom the whole time? Yeah, that one. Yeah, it's great. I don't know, like, and I really get a kick out of the Die Hard episode. I watched it again today, and it just cracks me up watching it. And then, like, Night Family I really like, too. So I think if that's my top three, those have to fall down into the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. The thing about it is all these episodes are good. And yeah. So I'll throw this out there by saying that there has to be a number one. There has to be a number six. And they can all be like a 10 and a 10 or 9.9, 9.8, right? They can all be up there, but there still has to be an order. So Rick is a Mort Well Lived is not down there at number six for me. I love me some Die Hard. I put Bethic Twinstinct down there. At number six down there because it makes me uncomfortable. And I know, it's supposed to make me uncomfortable. I think that's part of the comedy there. Yeah. We talked about it on that episode. I think it handles it in a fairly mature way, but it's still not something I'm a fan of to watch. Like I don't need to rewatch it as much as I watch.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be. It's not going to be my pick for the intro episode. That we're going to get to here in a little bit.
Okay. Let's talk about that. Yeah. So I wrote this one down. Best introduction episode for a new viewer. If they're starting on season 6, which episode do you pick?
I feel like I'm going back to the same well here, but I feel like Solarix is another great one there because of the internal canon. And the fact that, yeah, there's a little bit of like, especially at the beginning, a little bit of, what do you call it? Where it talks about things instead of showing you.
Exposition.
Thank you. It's getting late, guys. Exposition. But for the most part, it gives you an opportunity to kind of know where all the families come from. It gives you a lot of background into Rick's past with how he went so far as to haunt himself with an AI of his wife and things like that. And I don't know, I think you can you can get a sense of where the family's at right now with that episode. So yeah, that's probably the one I would go with.
Okay.
What about you?
I wouldn't start with that episode, because if I'm getting somebody to start watching Rick and Morty, I don't want to get them used to the idea that there's a consistent storyline that they can pay attention to. Right.
That's really smart. That's really smart.
Got
to give you props there.
Got to set that expectation management, you know, stakeholder management. If I'm going to go pick something, I don't want to do Rick and Morty Well Lived, just because not everybody has seen Die Hard. Although I do think that is a, well,
Christmas is right around the corner.
It is,
so, time to fire up the old Die Hard.
It might be a little too confusing, I think, for some folks who may not have seen the Roy game. So that might be a thing. So I might, Knight Family, I think, is also too unique. So same, the Bethic Twin Sync, too much space Beth. I think that they're like, well, what the hell are we watching? Either Desmithation or Jurassic Mort. And if I were going to lean into it, I would go with Jurassic Mort, because it shows that there's all this like really weird abstract concepts that come together. Rick is a smart dude. He has a relationship with the president. He's an asshole. He's smart. And he has like a weird moral compass that somehow pans out.
Yeah, like he'll save the planet, but only if he can host the Oscars. like his motivations are not exactly conventional.
Yeah. So that's what I would pick for that.
And he's Westworld and the president. Like, who does that?
Who does it? Who does it? Who does it? Okay. These last two will be quick, I think. Canon-tastic. This one is hilarious. So I'll just say that.
It's too easy.
That was stupid. That was stupid.
I am curious if we'll get more Canon-tastic episodes in the season, or if it's just going to be bookends with the premiere and finale. I'm really curious to see how that happens.
I wonder. And funniest episode, which episode do you think is the funniest?
I want to know which one you think is funniest.
Don't you say it's the lyrics. You have to change it up.
Nope. It's different. I have a different episode.
I think that I laughed the most in maybe Jurassic Mort. I think I laughed a lot. I know I was cracking up at the post credits. with the dinosaurs shredding on the skateboards.
Mine includes the line "walkie-talkie diehard, motherfucker." so many bits in there. Not just in the diehard side of it, but also in the Roy side of it. So many of the scenarios between, what's her name, Moira or something, or what's the main Morty's, like her relationship with her dad and stuff like that. Rick like frustratedly trying to convince an entire civilization that they're all 1/1,000,000,000th of his grandson. Just a lot of interesting premises. Like, I laughed a lot in that episode, so I think that's probably my funniest so far this season.
Yeah. I also highly recommend going out to YouTube or Spotify and looking up the song "Jesus Was a Dinosaur" with Nick Rutherford and Ryan Elder. It's a good song.
If I had one request for the second half or the last, four episodes, it's more original songs. Because those are one of my favorite things about the show. And last season, they were dropping a lot of those like the day after the episode or whatever out on Spotify. Hopefully we get more of that, because we got like three in Jurassic Mort. But it'd be great to have even more original music.
There was a tweet by Ryan Elder a couple weeks back. And what he said was, let's see if I can find it real fast. He did write a bunch of music for the Polony show. Here's what he said. October 5th, Today, I'm working on quite possibly the stupidest piece of music for Rick and Morty I've ever been asked to compose. I can't wait. Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. We'll have to find out which song that was whenever it comes out.
Yeah. When we can get him on the show again, because I love
every couple of seasons, we'll just have him back.
He's
a busy guy.
Yes. All right.
Yeah. Well, any other thoughts or anything else on season six so far that we haven't beaten to death?
We've beaten to death a lot of things. I can't wait to beat to death the next four episodes of the season, which will take us to, you know, hopefully not too much long of a break. Hopefully that'll just take us to like next September, August or so.
Yeah.
But just looking forward to those last four episodes. The fact that it's only four episodes is, you know, like they had to have picked this hiatus for a reason. They had to have picked this episode to end to leave us off on.
Yeah.
So we know that in season five, the last couple episodes were very, you know, very canon heavy, and you know, they seem to tie into each other much more. So I'm interested to see if that's exactly what happens into season these last four episodes, and if they do give us like a trailer leading into the re-premiere of season six.
Yeah, we'll be back in new episodes right around Thanksgiving. If we get four straight episodes, that's going to take us like right into just before Christmas. So really like the whole holiday season is the gift that keeps on giving. Rick and Morty season six. We'll see. Hopefully we get it all consistently. Also maybe like, will the last two episodes be like a double episode like we got, you know, last season as well. A lot of unknowns, but, as soon as we know things, we'll be sure to share it with you here on this podcast. Cause you know, that's what we do.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Big thanks to everybody that continues to reach out to us and keep up with us during this hiatus. Shout out to all the folks in the chat out here on Twitch. Have a good day, Face, making his presence known. Forever DM Justin. Thanks for hanging out, for catching us live.
J1.
And Zactmo 137. Thanks for loving on Brandon's music as well. So short outs to all of you guys, short outs to everybody that continues to you know, consume this content. Don't forget to subscribe if you're not subscribed now, so you can catch that bonus episode where we talk to Alex and Fred all about the brand new comic that's coming out this week. And we will continue to look into all things Rick and Morty and see you very soon with a brand new episode.
I can't wait to see it, Travis. I can't wait. I'm going to have to, but I cannot do it. Okay.
All right. Let's make another episode.
I got nothing. Yeah. Let's do it to it. Hey, everybody. Take care. We'll see you in just a little bit for next episode of International RSS.